And if you've got a Bible with you today, if you turn with us over the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, I'd like to deal with a statement that was made by some of the folks of the Old Testament, and I'd like to stay in this text and preach a while this morning. As I've reflected over the last few weeks of how good God's been to us, I'm thankful we can have a church that it's not filled with perfect people, but filled with a perfect Savior. And I thank Him for His goodness. Let's stand, if you're able today, and let's honor the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to read one verse found in Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 14. I'm going to give you just a little bit of background, and I'm going to let you be seated. The other morning I was having a preacher preach, and I noticed he had you stand, and man, he I thought he was going to let y'all stand about 35 minutes, amen. But whenever we have a young preacher do that, or a preacher, and he reads his text, and so it'll be fine you just to watch me. I'll sit down because they're nervous and they forget, and I do too, amen. Well, say amen this morning.
Amen.
All right, Malachi 3, verse 14. Before this phrase is said, Nehemiah has rebuilt the walls. This is one of God's last prophets, as he's going to say anything to a nation. God's children seem like they had fell on hard times. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Just because you go to church and pay your tithes, just because you live for the Lord, it don't mean that hard times won't find you. But I sure am glad that we've got somebody that'll go in hard times with us. And I'm interested really in this text and the heart of the Lord and what He experienced. Now, they're going through some pretty tough pathways. Nehemiah's rebuilt the temple, the walls, and so now Malachi comes on the scenes in the last pages of the Bible. In verse 14, what they said, it said, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept His ordinance? We walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts." Thank you for standing this morning, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Was that thunder I heard? I remember one day, some of y'all remember the old building before we added the wings on. I got up and preached on when the wind gets in it. Y'all remember the wind went to howling, thought the winders was going to come out of this place. Boy, and that's something. I read that verse, we heard something. We might have just given an altar call this morning. "Ye said, is it vain?" Or "it is." They made a statement. "You said it is vain to serve God." I wonder, as a Christian, if God heard us say that, what He would think about us. As I was reading from one of the old writers this morning, it may be because they'd made these statements because their motives were very selfish. They had selfish motives. They were looking around and they expected God to give them something right now. I want to say in this culture, this generation, this day and this hour, everybody's looking for something right now. But I want to say it takes time. It takes time to build a church. It takes time to build a marriage. It takes time to raise children. As I was reflecting over this today, Brother Mike, as we've got older in the Lord, older in the body, I began to think, I wonder, does young people ever really reflect in the pages of this Bible and really think about what God has done for us? It is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we've kept His ordinance? Preaching on today, is it vain to serve God? Notice, first of all, if you would, in verse number 1 of the chapter, we'll see the preaching Baptist. He said, "Behold, I will send." I'm glad I've met some preachers that's been sent. Watch this, "my messenger." Don't never get upset with the preacher if he's reading out of the Bible, because the preacher didn't write the Bible, he's just reading out of the Bible. He said, I will. Aren't you glad that God's been faithful to send you a preacher in your life? I get to thinking about the preachers that God has sent in my life. One of my greatest heroes, Brother Monroe Wiggins, he preached in this country for years. Brother Monroe, he was simply just a sawmill type man. Worked very hard all day, would preach revivals at night. I think they said he preached over 4,000 funerals. I heard the day when Brother Monroe Wiggins went on to the Lord and passed. That ought to have been the day that Bowden ought to closed all the storefronts. It ought to been a day they ought to put a parade in the street and said, thank you, God, that you sent us an old-time preacher in our community. And so I'm thankful for the preachers that God has sent in my path. What about you? You think it's vain to serve God? God's thought enough of me and you that He would send us a preacher. I'm glad He sent me a preacher. Tell me about the wonderful story of Jesus going to the cross, dying for my sin and your sin. Glad He sent me a preacher to tell me it was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Glad He sent me a preacher to tell me if I'd read and study my Bible and pray, God would meet with me. Glad He sent me a preacher to tell me the hard times had come, but I wouldn't be in it by myself. And I come to tell you, I'm glad I'm not in here by myself this morning. I'm glad it's somebody that loves us, that lives in us and died for us. And I'm thankful that He sent me a preacher in my life. You see, is it vain to serve God? What about the old preaching Baptist? Oh, I remember Brother Elmer Case and Brother Wallace, Miss Glenda, he lived over in their community. Brother Elmer was a well digger by trade. He come to my house one Saturday and Brother Gary left and God stayed. I'm ever indebted to God, not only for His mercy and His grace, but His kindness that He would send me a preacher. Tell me about the love of Christ that I could be saved. Is it vain to serve God? Watch. Verse 1, he talks about the preaching Baptists. Then he says this in verse number 6. He says, for I am the Lord. Always remember this. Underline it in your Bible. I change not. Me and you change. God's never changed. God is faithful. God is love. That's who He is. And God is always right. God is always relevant in what He does. God does not have to act in the atmosphere of time, for God sees time different than you and I see time. But God never changes. I won't say His Word has never changed. A lot of folks want to get a new Bible that reads funny. Let me tell you, this Bible I got today's right. And I'm thankful that the Word of God don't change. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. Let me tell you something about God. He's never changing. God's always been who He's always been. And God, you'll never wonder, will He change? Because His Word is written in stone this morning. So He says this, verse number 7. Not only the preaching Baptist, but now let's look at this poured blessing. He said, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances. He said, I gave you ordinances and laws to practice. And by the way, the Ten Commandments is still right in this day and this hour. The Ten Commandments is not given us to harm us, but to help us. If this nation practiced the Ten Commandments, what a better nation our children would have to grow up in. So he says, these ordinances, said, if you've not kept them, watch this, return unto me and I'll return unto you. Are you as close as you've ever been to God? If not, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. God said if we would resist the devil, he would flee from us. And if we would draw nigh to God, He would draw nigh to us. We can never blame our coldness on God. For he says, return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord. But you said, wherein shall we return? Then he makes this statement. He answers the question with a question. Look what he says. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, well, where have we robbed you? And he said, in tithes and offerings. He said, for that you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Said you've went against what I've taught you to do. Verse 10. Remember now, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. He said, bring ye all, not some, but bring ye all the tithes. That word means ten. Into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? Well, the storehouse is simply, the way I look at it today, it's the house of God. It's a place where God blesses His people in the storehouse. I know His storehouse is there, but let me ask you this. Bring y'all the tithes into the storehouse. In other words, if you'll give unto God, He'll put it in the storehouse for you. And I sure am glad He's good at opening the wonders of heaven this morning. And so here we see this poured blessing. Now watch what He says. He says, bring y'all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And underline this, prove me now. Somebody says, well, that's not biblical now, preacher. Well, my Bible says He's the Lord and changes not. He says, prove me right now. So prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts. And watch, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And that's something, said He'd pour you out a blessing. He didn't say that He would spill a blessing, did He? You know, I was raised around a grandpa and grandma. They didn't have a big dairy. I was raised in Middle Tennessee. You could open our door up. It was one of the largest dairies there. They had Holstein cows. They milked twice a day. But up the road was my old grandpa. He had one Jersey cow. It was very important to him. He'd go down to the barn every morning and milk that cow. And my job as a little old kid, we had them stainless steel milk buckets. I don't know. It wasn't 5 gallons, maybe 3 gallons or 4 gallons. But Nanny Lamb would set that thing on the porch for me, and it'd be my job. I'd take that bucket, and I'd go down there to Grandpa. I'd bring him that bucket, and he'd milk that old Jersey cow in that little old bucket. Well, I was a little old kid, about Sailor Reese's age, and I'd come back from the barn, and I'd set it on the porch, and Grandma then, she'd make butter, stuff you young folk know nothing about. But man, we'd make homemade ice cream out of that Jersey cow. Somebody shout amen this morning. And so, you know, they was real strict. They come through the Depression. They had hard times. I mean, like my grandpa, when he'd feed the hogs out of that feed sack, if the wind got behind it, he'd have me run it 200 yards to catch it because he got a dime for it at the feed mill Friday. Somebody say amen. Times is hard. They live strict and hard. But when Grandma would go out there, she'd pick that bucket up and she'd go in the kitchen, she'd strain it. And I remember a lot of times, you know, as I'd take and I'd spill some of that milk on the way back to the house, she'd look at me and she'd say, well, baby, I've noticed that there's some milk missing. What happened? I'd say, oh, Nanny, I learned the way Parker does Mimi. I knew how to play the tune, amen. I'd say, Mimi, I just spilt it. She said, oh, baby, that's all right. Parker's learned what to say to Mimi, amen. He knows how to play that fiddle. Somebody say amen this morning. Oh, Mimi, I just spilt it a little bit. But you know, she said, Ken, what happened to that milk? I say, oh, I poured it out. See, that's intentional. God said if you'll give Him what He asks, He'll not spill you nothing, honey. He'll pour it out on you. And let me tell you, you might not look around and see it there Friday, but God does pay off His children. And God is faithful with what He does. I'm not preaching on having nice cars and nice houses. Some of us do have those things. But honey, let me tell you, I've got something money can't buy this morning. Got a piece of God in my heart. and I'm thankful for His poured blessing. Is it vain to serve God? You know, Brother David, our song leader, gave me a phrase nearly 30 years ago. And I've always remembered what you said, Brother David. You used the word chinchy. He said, "Preacher, you know, some folks is just chinchy. You know, don't be a chinchy Christian. Give God what He asked and trust Him." He said, "Prove me now. Ken, prove me right now." Let me tell you something. God will never be indebted to nobody this morning. Oh, I'm thankful for His poured blessings. Has He poured any blessings out on you? This evening, Lord willing, Renee's supposed to cook supper for the kids and the grandkids, and they'll come in there about, supposed to be there about 6 o'clock. Macy will be there at 6:30. Somebody say amen. But Renee, what are you having, honey? Baked chicken? Some corn? Rolls? If you looked in at our table, you wouldn't think that's too much. But when I look around, what is God has given me that money cannot buy? I'm thankful this morning for His poured blessings. You know, I think a lot of times we try to see how we're blessed according to others. And when we see other people's blessings, it's hard for us to enjoy other people's blessings. But if we all would look inside this morning, what do we really deserve? What has God given us that we really don't deserve? Well, God has been so good to us. What about a little grandkid that got saved? Isn't that something money can't buy? What about some friends? You say, "Preacher, I don't have no children or grandchildren." Well, let me ask you something. What about the shoes on your feet? What about the air that you get to breathe today? We're not in the nursing home by the good grace of God. Many are. I was at the car wash the other day and pulled in. There was a man in a wheelchair. He had no legs. He got out. And I'll be honest with you, I started to walk over there to try to help him, but I would have insulted him after I watched him a moment. He rolled around behind his truck. He got a box out. He got down on the ground. Scooted around on his hands and his backside and detailed his truck. I walked over there to him and I said, "Sir, before I leave, I want to tell you something. I'm a pastor and I've been watching you. I said, I want to commend you for your attitude and your positiveness." You know what that man told me? "God's been good to me." Is it vain to serve God? Has God got to give you treasures and trinkets to get you to serve Him? I love it when David was fighting the giant. You remember he went to the brook and got out them 5 stones. Before he got there, nobody else would face Goliath. And he said these words that's rung in my heart for years. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to do right? Is there not a cause to serve the God that saved us? Is there not a cause? Is it vain to serve God? You'll notice the preaching Baptist, the poured blessing. But now watch this in verse 13, this poor bad mouthing. He said this, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord." They're talking about the Lord. The Lord's not given me that. The Lord's not done this for me. Yet ye say, "What have we spoken so much against ye?" And then God replies, said, you said it's vain to serve God. I've met a lot of people in the walk of life, and this is what they've told me. I'd invite them to Liberty Baptist Church. You know what I've heard a lot? I've tried that, preacher. I've tried that, preacher. Well, religion's not going to help you, but Jesus will change your life. Is it vain to serve God? The poor bad mouth, and you said it's vain to serve God, and what profit is it? We've kept His ordinances. We've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts, and now we call the proud happy. And yea, that, watch this, yea, that they work wickedness are set up. Yeah, they that tempt God are even delivered. They said, we're living for you, and look at the trials that we're in. Look at the people that does all this foolishness, and look how easy they've got it. Is it vain to serve God? The preaching Baptist, thank God I've heard some. The poor blessing, thank God I've experienced some. The poor bad mouthing, and probably I've said some. But watch this, verse 16, there's a penned book. The Bible said, then they that feared the Lord, watch this, they spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. Isn't that something? Now, y'all get this just a minute. My Bible just said, and the Lord hearkened. In other words, He done this. And He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them. He didn't write it down because He'd forget it. He wrote it down for them on their account. By the way, when we stand before God, you're not going to stand before a preacher. You're going to stand before God, and there's going to be some books opened up. Watch this, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and that day when I make up my jewels, I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. My. This penned book. But now, verse 17, let's look in this verse, about done preaching. Look at this precious bunch. This precious bunch. He said, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I'm thankful I'm going to heaven today. God said, I tell you one thing, them folks that's thought about me and talked about me, He said, I love that. Matter of fact, when you get around your friends and your buddies and the conversation goes bad, I challenge you to do this. You ought to say, well, the Lord's been good to me. Praise His name. God is faithful. Just a little bit will go a long way, and before long you'll be talking about the goodness of God. And the Bible says the Lord hearkened and He heard it. And He said, by the way, not only this penned book, but there's a precious bunch. He said, there's coming a day that I'm going to spare you when I make up my jewels. I sure am glad we mean something to God this morning. You might not mean nothing to this world, but you mean something to God. You know what I done? I told Renee about it Friday morning. I came in from the meeting in Mississippi, and I was going through my prayer time, and I asked God, do you ever do this? I asked God for something specifically, if He would do this. And I'll be honest with you, as my day got started and moved on, I forgot about what I said. All of a sudden, my phone rung, and Renee was there in the house, and I said, Renee, God just did something that I asked Him to do this morning. I asked Him, would He let this happen today? It reminded me that God don't see us corporately. He sees us individually. And God wants to help us. I wonder what you need this morning. So this precious bunch. Aren't you glad we're precious in the eyes of the Lord? He gave His Son. Gave His Son to die for everybody. If you'll put your faith in Christ, the Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. No other way. Renee told me last night at supper, she said, I've seen one of the greatest little illustrations today. Said a person had a set of keys. Somebody asked this man, said, how do you know that you're going to heaven? How do you know that Jesus is the way to heaven? And he said, well, it's a lot like this. He pulled out a ring of keys. He said, you see all these keys? So many of them look just alike. But only one of them fits the lock. And I'm glad Jesus is the way to God this morning. A lot of things may look like it. But there's one way to get us there, and that's through God's Son, the only begotten. Now lastly, I'll get Miss Sherry to come and play. Just want to share a few thoughts on my heart this morning. Not only this precious bunch, you're precious in the eyes of God. And you know, when we get down low and we get isolated, the devil loves to tell us nobody cares about you and what's the use? But you go to this text in the Bible and realize this. You're precious in the eyes of God. So precious. He gave the best He had. Is He precious to you? Does He have to give you something in order for you to serve Him? Or do you serve Him because you love Him? Maybe when they said, it is vain to serve God, that they had selfish motives. This precious bunch. Now, chapter 4, verse 1, watch this. Is it vain to serve God? What about this proclaimed burning? A lot of people don't believe this right here. We live in a new age, new culture. They say, your preacher really preaches this right here? Yeah, he sure does. What? Because you know why? Because the Bible says it. For behold, the day cometh, watch this, that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Heard a man one time made a statement about what I said in the service. He said to one of the members, they come back and told me, he said, you know, that preacher said that when you die, you don't take nothing out with you. And he said, that's right. That's what the Bible says. He said, no, I believe you get to take stuff with you. Do you really believe that? This whole world's going to burn up one day. This building, as beautiful as it is, poof, it's going. We won't be here. We'll be around the throne of God. Is it vain to serve God? The man that died and went to hell this morning, the man that died and went to heaven last night, I wonder if you talked with both of them how they would answer this statement. Is it vain to serve God? Then he says this in verse 2, watch, let this encourage you. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. You shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Not only the proclaimed burning, but you'll see the promised benefit. The Lord's going to return. We go into a city. They need no candle there. For the precious Lamb of God is the light of it. He's going to come with healing in His wings. I hear a lot of TV preachers preaching about health and wealth, and I understand that. But I've read my whole Bible. Sometimes we hurt. Sometimes we get low, and sometimes we get to need things. But didn't He say that He would see about all of your needs according to His riches and glory. I don't know about y'all, but He's not only supplied all my needs, He's given me a lot of my wants. Amen. He has. Amen. Miss Sherry, play this morning. You may be here.